during his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, "On the seventh day God rested from all his works." And again in the passage above he says, "They shall never enter my rest." Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish but following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Thank you, Peter. Now please turn to page 78, which is Exodus chapter 20. Page 78. Exodus 20 will be from verse 8. Let's pray, shall we? Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you confidently in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we confess that we need you. We need your help to understand your word and to respond rightly to what we hear today. And so we ask for your help, that by your Spirit you would take these words and plant them deep into our hearts, so that they bring transforming change to our lives. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. You wake up ready for another hard day at school. But as you pull back your curtains, you see white flakes falling past your window, and you see that they're beginning to settle on the ground. And so as you eat your breakfast, as you get your uniform on, you're watching, you're waiting, you're wondering, and finally your phone pings with that glorious message. School is shut because of the weather. It's a snow day. How do you feel? Amazing. Parents say they feel sad. What about this one for the parents then? Or for those who are perhaps working. It's Thursday evening. Thursday evening at work, and you're just wrapping up for the day when your boss comes in
And she says, have tomorrow off. Have an extra day of paid leave. I know you're busy. I know you've got loads to do, but don't worry about it. It can wait. We'll get to it on Monday. Just enjoy tomorrow off on me. How do you feel? Good. Do you know, our God is really kind. Our God wants us to have a day off. Not just every so often, but every week. One day in seven when we can rest from our work and rest in the Lord. That's the principle that lies behind the fourth commandment, which we see here in Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. For the Israelites who were gathered around Mount Sinai, hearing these words for the first time, the Sabbath day was a 24-hour period from Friday night to Saturday night, one day per week, which they were to observe by keeping it holy. Now, to be holy is to be set apart, to be different. To be holy is to be like these pasta bowls that we received for Christmas. We got this as a gift for Christmas. These pasta bowls are, they're very nice, they're a bit special. And so we don't treat these pasta bowls like we treat the rest of the bowls in our house. We don't shove these into the cupboard with the rest of them getting chipped and dirty. We don't get them out every morning to eat our Weetabix from. No, we treat them very differently. They're still in their protective packaging. They're actually in a completely different cupboard set aside from the rest of them. And we will only ever use these pasta bowls for certain dishes and with special guests. These pasta bowls are holy. And so it was to be for the Sabbath. The Sabbath day was to be set apart, given special treatment, to be different. Different how? Well, the other 6 days were for work. Verse 9. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. Work is not bad. We sit here on a Sunday after a long week of work for many of you. I want to tell you, work is not bad. It might feel bad, but work is not a bad thing. Before Adam and Eve sinned, in the Garden of Eden, they did the work that God had given them to do, and they enjoyed it. It was a delight. It was a joy to them. When they sinned, after they had rejected their master and rebelled against their master, work, like everything else in the world, became cursed. And from that point on, work did become difficult, hard toil, labour, hard work. But work is still good. It's productive, it's constructive, it's useful. Work is part of how we honour God with our time. And so the Lord says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. If we're going to follow God's command, if we're going to honour his pattern for rest, well, that means we need to work diligently on the days that we do work. We need to get all of our work done. Perhaps for you, one of the reasons that you struggle to honour a full day of rest and worship is because you're not very efficient on the days that you are working, the other days of the week. Perhaps you don't really prioritise having a full special day off, and so you sort of divide out the stuff that you've got to do over 7 days instead of six. The fourth commandment lays out God's pattern for work and rest. And while the emphasis is on rest, perhaps some of us this morning need to hear this call to work. Of course, work is not just paid employment. Perhaps the Lord has called you to work in the home or to volunteer in other settings. Some of us have retired from formal work or are unable to work, but our time is filled with other useful things. And many of us have a mix of those different responsibilities. We'll pause for a moment. Hello, little one. You're very welcome. Many of us do have a mix of different responsibilities, don't we? So it might be that we have some full-time or some paid work, but also we have responsibilities in the home. Or it might be that we're retired, but we also look after family. There's often a mix of things which fill our time. Different for all of us, but the Lord says, work hard. Whatever it is for you, work diligently at those things. Now, again, for some of us, there are good reasons why we are unable to do very much. Maybe to you, the idea of working 6 days is just impossible because of your health or because of your circumstances. The Lord understands that. But within our different capacities and abilities, the Lord has called each of us to use our time productively and constructively. The pattern here is not 6 days of chilling out and one day of work. It's the other way around. We honour God by doing an honest week's worth of work. So perhaps for some of us today, the call of God's word this morning is telling us really just to get out of bed, to get off our backsides, to do something useful with our weeks. As the wise man of Proverbs says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Or as Titus puts it, "Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives." Or as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, "We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food that they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." The fourth commandment calls us then to diligent, hard work as we are able, but also to rest. Look at verse 9 again. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The seventh day was therefore a day of rest from work. A day of rest from work. And not just for you, but also for your family. Look again at verse 10. Neither you nor your son or your daughter. And the same goes for your employees, nor your male or female servant, nor your work animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Even if there's someone passing through, someone that you've got on a short-term contract, even they can't work on the Sabbath. Even if they're a foreigner, they're not a Jew, and they don't normally observe the Sabbath, well, when they're on your patch, they mustn't work. You see how the Lord closes all of the loopholes. He knows that they will be tempted to say, "Well, technically, I'm not working. It's just my donkey." But God says, "No, no, no. Everyone and everything must have a complete break for the whole day." Why? Because God has made that day special. In the way that he created the world, God has set apart a Sabbath. Verse 11. Because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God is the one who has set the pattern. 6 days of diligent hard work, one day of rest. God did not rest because he was tired and he needed to put his feet up, but because he wanted to give us a special day. There at the end of verse 11, he blessed the Sabbath day. He gave this day of rest his divine favour. It's not supposed to be a difficult duty, but an enjoyable gift. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah that the Sabbath should be a delight. The Lord Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for man. It was for their benefit. It wasn't supposed to be a boring, restrictive day to survive and get through. It was to be enjoyed. The Sabbath should be seen not like a detention, but like a snow day. He blessed the Sabbath. And verse 11, he made it holy. That's that word again, which we saw in verse 8. Read verse 8 with me. Look down at your pages and read verse 8. 1, 2, 3. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And now in verse 11, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Do you see the link between the two things? God made this day holy, so God's people were to keep it holy. He's not actually asking them to create a special day, but simply to observe the day that already exists. By commanding us to have a 1 in 7 day of rest and worship, he is simply calling us to respect the pattern that he has woven into creation. Do you know, we are not machines. We are not robots who can just keep going 24/7 without any break. Neither are we gods who does not need to slumber or sleep, who does not get tired or weary. That's not us. The Lord has designed us to need regular rest. We all know this, right? But sometimes we actually need reminding. We're not machines. There's a YouTube series called No Days Off. It's about child prodigies in the world of sport. So these young kids with really impressive skills at an early age, and also a really impressive devotion to working hard and commitment to their own sports. But this title, No Days Off, it's a really stupid title. It doesn't make any sense, because actually rest and recovery are a huge part of any athletic development or achievement, just as it is in any area of life. In fact, these two guys, you know who these two guys are? Someone shout them out. Roger Federer. Roger Federer. LeBron James. As you can see, they're both having a bit of a doze there. And both of these guys, who've been at the top of their sport for a very long time, they both sleep 12 hours a day. But it's actually not just sleep. Studies show that what God commands is kind. He knows how we are made because he's the one who made us. And studies show that proper rest reduces stress, reduces the risk of heart disease, boosts your immune system, makes us more creative and productive, gives us better focus and memory, and so on and so on and so on. We need rest. And so the Lord, in his kindness, commands his people to have 1 day in 7 as a complete break, a 24-hour reset to rest from work. But the Sabbath isn't just about resting from work. It's also about resting in the Lord. So come back with me to verse 8. Again, read verse 8 with me. 1, 2, 3. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does that word holy mean? What does it mean? Tell me. We talked about this earlier. It means to be different, right? To be set apart. That's right. Like my pasta bowls. That's what it is to be holy. But actually, the word holy holds much more meaning than just being set apart. There is a spiritual sense to the word holy. It's a spiritual word. After all, our God is the definition of holy, and so to call something holy is to connect it with God. To be holy is not simply to be set apart, but to be set apart for sacred use. So actually, my pasta bowls are not holy. They're not holy in the full biblical sense of the word. Sure, we treat them differently. Sure, they are set apart, but there is nothing holy about pasta. No offense, Vanessa, wherever you are, our resident Italian. There's nothing holy about pasta. But if this was one of the bowls that was used in the worship of God in the tabernacle, then it truly would be something holy. You see, to be holy is to be consecrated, set aside for God's use, for God's purposes. It describes something that is given over to God. And so for the Sabbath day to be holy means it is set apart for worship. Not just rest from work, but rest in the Lord. Not just physical refreshment, but spiritual refreshment. Not just relaxation, but reverence. A day for worship. with the usual business of life laid to one side. Here there was space to enjoy the Lord who had saved them, to meet with him and his people, to hear from him, to bring praise to him. That's certainly what the Jews understood the Sabbath to be. In Leviticus 23, we see the Sabbath described as a day of sacred assembly. Not just a day off, but a day to gather in God's presence. In Luke chapter 4, we learn it was the custom, the habit of our Lord Jesus to attend synagogue on the Sabbath. Not just a day of rest from work, but a day to rest in the Lord. A day that belongs to the Lord. A day that he has kindly given to us. A day that we gratefully devote to him. So there's the principle. Are you with me so far? Here's the principle. One full day in seven to rest from work, whatever that work means for us, and a day to rest in the Lord, a day for worship. Now, as we think about how this applies for us today, we do have to be a bit careful. As we'll see throughout this series, the Ten Commandments were first given to the people of Israel, given at a time of history after their salvation, their great rescue from Egypt, but before the even greater rescue that would come through Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So for God's rescued people this side of Jesus, we are not under the law in exactly the same way. For example, the strict Sabbath laws that governed the nation state of Israel back then are not binding to us now. The severe penalties for breaking the Sabbath no longer apply. For us today, the idea of Sabbath is not set in stone like it was for them then. And so what that means is we must avoid legalism. Different Christians will have different views on exactly how this principle of Sabbath should apply today. And it's something that people can feel quite strongly about. But whatever we believe is right and good, we must be careful not to treat it like Old Testament law. Not to say, well, my way is the only right way, and if you're doing it another way, then you're breaking the law, you're wrong. In Christ, we are not under the Sabbath law in the same way. We will not be stoned for gathering sticks on a Sunday. However, in Christ, this underlying principle of rest has not been removed. If anything, we actually have a clearer and a greater understanding of it. We have a deeper grasp of this whole Bible concept of rest. You see, our Lord Jesus, he left the rest of heaven to enter into the strife of this world. Our Lord Jesus knows what it is to sweat, to toil, to labor, to work hard. He worked with his dad as a carpenter for the first years of his life, but that wasn't the most significant work that he did. From age 30, Jesus put in an absolute shift, pounding the streets, a bit like a traveling salesman. But what he had to give was free. The good news of the kingdom of heaven that had dawned with his arrival. Jesus, he worked diligently. He worked hard. Yes, he took time out to rest. We see that in the Gospels. Jesus took time out to rest when he needed to, but he was devoted to doing what is good. He was often tired because he never shirked his duties. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus had a job to do. And it was this job that took him to a hill outside of Jerusalem where he accomplished his greatest work of all. Jesus died on the cross as if he was a lawbreaker, paying the punishment for the sins of everyone who will trust in him. And what did he say on the cross? It is finished. Job done. For us to be saved, there is no work for us to do. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you come to Jesus? Have you found rest for your souls? We do not need to strive for our salvation. All we need to do is rest in the finished work of our Lord Jesus. It is finished, he cried, as he died on a Friday. And on the Sabbath day, he rested in the grave. And when the Sabbath was over, a new working week had begun. And so Jesus rose again to crown his work and to secure for us not just one day of rest, every one in seven, but a forever rest with him in heaven. In Christ, rest is even more significant than it was for the Israelites back then. And so we can't just ignore this command and say it doesn't apply to us. After all, as we see there in verse 11, this is the pattern that is written into creation. And so obedience to this command, it will practically look somewhat different for us than it did for the Israelites back then. But we are still called to observe the God-given pattern for work and rest. To enjoy one full day in seven, to rest in his grace. Now, for most of us, that's going to be a Sunday. Sunday is the day that our Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And for his followers, it soon replaced Saturday as the day to rest from work and to rest in the Lord. And throughout history, most often it's Sunday that has been the day for sacred assembly, to rest from work, to gather with God's people for worship. Now, for some people and for some lines of work, of course, it's not always possible to rest on a Sunday. And again, we mustn't be legalistic about it. But as far as we are able, the Lord wants us to set aside one full day out of seven for rest and for worship. He has kindly given us a day off to be refreshed physically, emotionally and spiritually. So can I encourage us this morning just to make the most of this wonderful gift? Do you know, the fourth commandment is actually the longest of the Ten Commandments. Did you notice that? You can look, have a look down at your page. You can see it's much longer than most of them. I think it's the longest one for a reason. I think it's the one that we need convincing of. It doesn't really feel as bad, and it isn't as bad, as murder or adultery or any of those things. It doesn't seem as obvious. But actually, throughout the Old Testament, the way that God's people treated the Sabbath was often held up as a thermometer measuring their spiritual health. What we think about this command is a good indicator of what we think about God's. Perhaps for you, you struggle to rest because you've just got so much to do. You can give God some of a day, sure, but definitely not a whole one because you're just too busy. So like the Israelites, you turn down God's gift of rest and you try and find those loopholes which allow you to keep working. But God was calling his people to trust him enough to rest, not to try to play God as if we are like him and we don't need to rest, but rather to accept our limitations, to receive his refreshment and to trust that he will provide all that we need for the work that he has given us to do. Like that fictional boss at the beginning. God's saying to us, I know you've got a lot to do. I know it's really busy. But don't worry, it can wait. We'll get to it on Monday. Enjoy today on me. Often a failure to rest properly indicates a failure to trust properly. It's also a measure of how much we value God. In our busy world, our time is really valuable to us. And 1/7 of our time just seems like too high a price to pay. I was speaking to a friend last week who said that he likes to think that he has a relationship with Jesus. I said, well, what's stopping you from coming to church on a Sunday morning? Do you want the honest answer? Time. There's other stuff that I'd rather be doing on a Sunday. Do we value the Lord enough to give him a whole day? How would you feel if every time you met up with a close friend, they left after 5 minutes because they'd had enough? I wonder what our time with the Lord says about what we think of the Lord, how much we value him. Do we see church as a tick box, something to get out of the way on a Sunday morning, then we could just get on with whatever else? Or do we give the whole of the day to the Lord and to his people? Don't just join online because it's more convenient for you.
if at all possible, give God the time to gather with his people. I'm not just talking about making it a priority to come to church. Even after we've finished here at church, can I encourage you to devote the whole of the day to these two things, rest and worship? That's going to take discipline. That's going to take planning. So here are some suggestions. On a Sunday, put away your to-do list. Just close the page, turn it over, ignore it, put it somewhere where you're not going to look at it. Turn off your emails. Leave the laundry for another day. I'm sure it can wait. Finish your homework by Saturday night. Stay for church lunch. Do your shopping on a different day. It's not that you can't do your shopping on a Sunday, but isn't it better to do it another day so you've got a day of rest? Take a moment to fill in the blanks for you. What would it look like for you to plan, to create space? What things could you practically do to create space so that today is a different day from the rest of them? Why not set aside some time on a Saturday evening to make sure that you're logistically and spiritually prepared to make the best, to make the most of a Sunday? Get all your little jobs done rather than, oh, I need to do that. Don't let Sunday be filled with business as usual. Instead, enjoy God's rest. Have a sleep. That's actually the command of God's word to you this morning is have a sleep. Isn't that good? That is genuinely part of God's good design for us. It's obedience to his word today. Sunday afternoons are made for naps. They really are. Or maybe you don't nap. Maybe you're not a fan of a sleep, but you recuperate by going for a walk or going for a run or by watching a movie or something like that. Do it. Do it on a Sunday. Enjoy God's good gift of rest. That's part of obeying this command. Rest and worship. So rest from work, but also rest in the Lord. Do you know, I think I tend to see the worship element of Sundays being this bit, the bit where we're all together, and the rest of it is just kind of for rest. But actually, if we're going to make the most of the day, I wonder if it'd be a good thing to deliberately spend time, extra time with the Lord throughout the whole day, not just when we're at church. Perhaps you could choose to listen to Christian music or to read a good Christian book instead of your novel. Or to, in the evening, perhaps tune into another Bible-teaching church that you know about for an extra bit of God's word. Or to set aside a bit of extra time for prayer with your family. Or to invite some Christian friends around in the afternoon, in the evening. Again, look, these things are not, they're not laws to make us feel guilty if we do anything else. Of course not. But these are simply my suggestions of how we can actually make the most of the day that God has given us. God is not trying to limit our fun. He's actually trying to maximize it. This command is not a stick to whack you with. It's an invitation from God to enjoy him and to enjoy his good gift of rest. Perhaps you're thinking, okay, yeah, sounds good, but it's just a bit unrealistic. You don't know, Luke. You don't know just how much I've got to do. Maybe so. I'll admit I don't know the ins and outs of all of your lives. But give it a go, and I think you'll be really blessed. And if you're wondering about it, have a chat with Eunice. Eunice, a little while ago, was overworking on weekdays, and it would also seep into Sundays. I have asked Eunice if I could use this, by the way. I'm not just embarrassing her. She was overworking on weekdays, also seeping over into Sundays. As you might know, her job can be very busy, very pressured. And so she just felt like she had to log in and get ahead on Sunday nights because she was worried about Monday morning. A little while ago, we had a chat and I encouraged her to set firm boundaries and to trust God enough to rest. By her own admission, it's still a battle, but she can testify from her experience that actually God's pattern is good and it's much better when we actually take time to properly rest. Friends, it is not a detention. Sunday is more like a snow day. And so I really do hope that you enjoy the rest of your day today. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you are kind and generous to us. Thank you that you
that you made us, you know what's good for us, and you've commanded that in your word. We're sorry for the times where we refuse to rest because of our own pride or because of our lack of trust or because we don't value you enough. Well, please would you help us to manage our various responsibilities well. Help us to trust you, to rest in you, and to have proper rest from work. And we pray that as we do, we would be more honouring to you in the way that we work and in the way that we rest. And Lord, we pray specifically for today that you'd help us to enjoy the day that you've given us, to enjoy physical rest, to enjoy being with God's people and around your word, to rest in you and to be refreshed for the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.